each Wednesday I've been trying to think about another one of those golden bricks of salvation. I was all about thanking the Lord for salvation and all the aspects of salvation. And just amazing to me how many different aspects of salvation, how it just keeps growing. And I was thinking about these two young kids when I thought about this message here tonight. They come to my mind about the sickness of the family. And this is a miracle here in these verses of Scripture, 46 through 54. A miracle really that changed the whole family. And because they had a crisis in the family. And they brought the crisis to Jesus Christ. And we need a miracle. And a miracle could change you and your entire family. As I said, it's Wednesday night, all different aspects of salvation. And every day I get to see more that God shows me, more of the aspects of salvation. You know, I didn't know anything about salvation except I was a lost sinner and I need to be saved. And if I'd asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins and repent, he would and come in my heart and he'd save me. But from that time on, I never did realize how much that you just keep growing and seeing. And he begins to allow you to see more and more of the aspects every day. And not only that, in every way, it's just like looking at a rainbow and seeing the different colors in the rainbow. But also, as you look at the colors of the rainbow, you get to understand the meaning of that rainbow and what God has sent that rainbow to mean for us today, of his covenant with this world, that he'll never destroy this world again by water. And that's the meaning of the rainbow. But tonight, it's just so many of these golden bricks of salvation. In the book of Revelation, Brother John on the Isle of Patmos, I believe he... And we was all in the dark, wasn't we? But and it says what heaven would be like, and he began to describe heaven with the, you know, with the gates of pearl, but then the streets of gold, and then he began to describe. And I believe John is getting to see all the beauty as one day you and I, and each day as we look at the different aspects of our salvation and begin to see the golden rainbow of salvation, and then really... what it really means, the salvation and the golden bricks that God gives us each day. And when he puts them all together, we get to see the beautiful sight that John saw, that new heaven and the new earth, that new city coming down from the throne of God. And he describes what the beauty of this salvation really means to us. And one day, you know, you'll get to see all these bricks put together. And when we begin to walk on these bricks of gold, and it says the streets of pure gold that you and I will be walking on in the glory land, I believe we'll really understand then and see all the aspects of our salvation. We see all these bricks put together, and it makes that long, straight street of gold as we walk upon into the throne of God. We need these miracles every day, and especially in our family. In our life today of the salvation. Let me read these scriptures for it. The light goes out again because I can't see. John chapter 4 and verse 46. Jesus came again unto the Canaan of Galilee where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him, begged him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, or my child dieth. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then required he of them the hour when he began to amends. And they said unto him, yesterday about the 11th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and in him believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was coming out of the Judea into Galilee. Let us pray again. Father, we thank you for this blessing this day to allow us to look into your precious word. And Father, just gather another nugget of gold, the bricks, Lord, that you allowed us, Lord, to lay to one day that we'll see those golden bricks put together and we'll understand more, Father, whenever we gather together, Father, in the holy place is called heaven. Father, we thank you so much for the ones that's here this hour. And Father, that saw the need in their life, Lord, to come out of God and worship you. And Father, in the numbers we have tonight, even though, that Lord, they know that they're few, but we thank you and you praise you, Father, for each one, each heart, Father, is laid open before us this hour. And Father, we just pray for those on our prayer list that would like to be here and couldn't come. And for those, Lord, that may be a little cold and indifferent, Lord, we just pray for them. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that we might be the one to encourage them to be back in the house of the Lord and be with God's people, Lord, where, Father, the miracles of God, Lord, that we can see them. And Father, Lord, we can feast upon your precious and holy word. Father, we thank you already for the rain, Father, that you sent this way. Even these showers of blessings that we sung song, Father, will be physical blessings. But, Father, we know there are also spiritual blessings. Also, the shower of rain, Father, for the spiritual blessing we need so much in our life. And, Father, for the throughout the south part of our country, Lord, is a parched land. But, Father, I believe the souls, Father, is parched, Lord, in desire and need, oh God, for the rain of heaven, Lord, to fall upon the souls, oh God, of mankind in our country. God, that they might be watered, oh God, that faith might grow, Lord, that might be strong again in of that living water. Again, Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Father, for all the great gifts that you give us each day and the great miracles and the Lord, the love and the mercy of the Lord each day that you pour upon us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As we see John, he does a couple of miracles here in this chapter. 1 and 2, he turned the water into wine, it says, and then he has this noble son was healed. John, in his miracles, he picked out certain miracles by the Holy Spirit of God, selected certain ones. And the reason for that, for people might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be saved. That's one of the reasons. The miracle when he turned the water into wine, it shows that Jesus Christ had the power over nature. But then the second miracle he done, you see, when he had to heal this nobleman's son, it shows that Jesus Christ has power over disease. Aren't y'all glad of that? And it says that Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth. So we need Jesus Christ in every circumstance of our life. Would y'all agree with that? So as you tell people to read the Bible and try to get them to read the Bible, you know, the good place to start is in the book of John, because it brings conviction to the point that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and they might be saved. It shows them the power of salvation. Of course, anywhere you read the Bible is good. But the miracle, the whole aspect of salvation that begins to unfold in the miracles, the book of John sets forth for us. Because of the faith, it shows what faith is and what faith really means to our salvation. And believing the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, and you shall be saved, or you will be saved. So we need to see this, the role of faith, what it really plays in salvation. Now, what do you mean whenever you say that I have faith in Jesus Christ? What do you really mean when you say, I have faith in Jesus Christ? Well, sometimes it's hard for us to explain to someone else, but this miracle is an illustration of what faith is and what it really means when we say that we have faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ healed this son of this nobleman because, you see, it shows that Jesus Christ has power over sickness and power over disease. Now, they had a family crisis. Did y'all know that? A family crisis. And faith is taking God at his word, and we find out this is what faith really is, and this is what really happened to this man. He took Jesus Christ at his word, and that's what faith is all about in our salvation. Also, it brings salvation to us. Ephesians 2:8-9, we know that familiar verse of Scripture, for grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So this part of our faith plays on our salvation, that we have to have this faith. Now here is a family that's in crisis. This son is sick. And now they need what Jesus Christ is able to provide for them. And probably they have tried everything. And I thought about these two young kids whenever I read these verses of Scripture, the reason I'm bringing this. Because Jesus Christ brings the power into their life. Now, we need Jesus Christ, and we need to bring our problems, and we need to bring our crisis to Jesus Christ, as this man did, and for his family, because of the power that Jesus Christ has over the situation and the problems that we might have from time to time. Well, you know, the first miracle that Jesus Christ performed, you know, the water into wine, that shows that, you know, why that was a marriage feast, and it shows that Jesus Christ is with us in the joyful time of our life. I mean, he's there in the joyful time. But then we find out here he healed this boy, and he's with us in the critical time of our life also. In the sad time, Jesus Christ is with you. In the happy time, Jesus Christ is with you. In sickness and sorrow, Jesus Christ is with us also. So the presence of Jesus Christ, you know, he's with us all the time. Here at Pleasant Hill, you know, every family needs to have a Jesus Christ in their family, or every family, regardless of where they're at, they need Jesus Christ in their family, and I thank the Lord for that. But it's sad to see that a lot of families don't see the need to have Jesus Christ in their family, and they have no time for Jesus Christ. And then you see they have no power in their life to meet the needs that they need met in a time of crisis. And these golden bricks in this salvation, these bricks for the families, we look into families this hour. I know our computer must be one off, Jeremy. Jeremy, you getting a break up there? Our computer went off on that lightning. I hope it didn't mess up nothing. Okay. But these outlines, family that has sorrow. Now, let's start with this family has great sorrow. And this great sorrow is this little boy was sick. Now, that's great sorrow. Verse 49, it says this child. And that child means little one. It means the precious one. It means the apple of my eye. It means the dearest one. The sickness of a child. You know, I had to stop when I read that in verse 49. Again, it says, the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down or my child dies. I had to stop there for a little while and think about this. And as I said, we have the prayer list and these little two children. And then others that bring up from time to time. And think about your children. You ever had a crisis in your family about your child? You ever had your sickness? Now think about these two children that we just named. They got a crisis in their family, have they not? You think about your children when they're little. And you think about your grandkid. You think about your grandkid now, and you just think about, what if it was my grandchild? What if it was my child in this condition? The crisis that we have in our families. And I know we all have had crises. If you have brought children and the Lord allowed you to bring children in this world, you've had crises. Whether it be sickness or difficulties or problems, you know, they don't go away when they get grown either. And then you have the grandchildren that come along, or maybe the great-grandkids, and it just keeps coming. And the crisis that we have in our family. And this little child, it says, it's the point of death. It's the point of death. You know, that's a serious place. Did y'all know that, the point of death? This little child, you know, it's in very critical condition with this disease of cancer. And I don't know if it's a point of death or not, but, you know, that's a serious place to be. And all of us, we go in different directions every day of our life, but sooner or later, we all going to come to that same point. We all have to come to that same point, and it's the point of death. We know that old must die, but the young may die, whether it be a baby or teenagers or what it might be. It's a serious point because the Bible says it's appointed. We have a point to come to, and the man who wants to die. And so we think about this. Did you know the day that you're closer to that point than you was yesterday? And each day we're closer to seeing those golden streets of gold that's laid for us. It's called heaven. And from time to time, you know, the different ones, even of our church members, they pass away. You know, one would say, well, I would never thought that she would have been one, or I would never thought that he would be next. And I wonder who's going to be next in Pleasant Hill. Will it be me? Maybe one of us here today? Maybe, you know, it might be someone's not here that's a member. Now, how about in our family? Sooner or later, that appointed time is going to come into my immediate family. It's going to be a point of death. And it's going to come to you too. Might be your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your husband, your kids, your grandkids. It's a kind of unbearable thing to think about. I want to go first, don't you? I said, Lord, let me go. Let me go first. I wouldn't want to see the death of any of my children. I wouldn't want to see the death of any of my grandchildren. Let me go first. But you don't always have that, you know, because it's appointing. God appoints that time. We don't appoint that time. So we have a crisis, this little boy, in the verse of Scripture. And this little boy was at death's door. This little baby was at death's door. This precious one was at death's door. That's a kind of a sad thing, be at death's door. This father's heart was broken. You know, his mother and the family, this heart was really broken. And just think about your children and your grandchildren. You know, you don't ever know when something's going to happen to them. You don't ever know when they're going to have some type of problem. Your kids may not be sickness. It might be a wreck on the highway. But we know that we have family problems, family crisis. And there's nothing like, I guess, in your life to get you down and really get to you. It is a child in the family in a crisis of your children or your grandchildren. When you have that crisis for your child and your grandchildren, I'm telling you, whatever happens to them, that will really get to you probably more than anything else is your children. You think about the day and the hour that we live in this country, the assault on our children, our society, and our culture today, the pollution, you know, that they're going through, and they're trying to determine their values by the world that we have in our society we live in today, and trying to wreck their lives, and they're doing a real good job. And if you look at our young society today, that's the reason I really believe that mothers and fathers should take every advantage that they have of a Christian church to have their children and their grandchildren, to make sure that mothers and fathers have their kids and be here with them at church and Sunday school and Wednesday night. Oh, it's a sad thing for mothers and fathers that say they're saved and maybe are saved and not have their kids where they can get the nourishment they need, because this world is very vicious that we know of. And God's laid a place here out by the side of this road called Pleasant Hill, and the Word of God and Sunday school and Wednesday night for kids and for children, for us to grow and for help our children. And he lays out the table of bread for them to have the nourishment they need in this dry and thirsty land. But this man has a child problem. This child problem brings this man to Jesus Christ. I guess there's nothing that would bring you to Christ any more than a child problem. Many times that we visit people and we, try to encourage them to come to the table of the Lord, I said, and for the children to be fed, but no time. They're not concerned. But one day, they're going to have a crisis. Can't drag them. You can't get them to come. No time for the Lord. Don't want to come. But one day, they're going to have a crisis. Hear me? They're going to have a crisis. And we need to be here to help them. But every one of them, it might be their children, I don't know, but they're going to have a crisis. That's the reason I really do believe that, they ought to have their children at the house of the Lord every time they get a chance. If it didn't do them any good, they ought to be there for their children. They ought to be here for your children. The condition of this boy was very seriously said that, you know, this boy was at the point of death. Verse 46, it said this nobleman. Now, that means that he worked for the king. He was in the king's court, probably a very wealthy man. He is high up, mighty man. But you see, problems comes under silk and satin houses too, where they have the money. I mean, it comes to all. And you know what? The problem that we have today, sometimes we don't understand, but the problem comes to everybody. We think maybe the rich and the famous don't have any problems. They have just enough of money, they wouldn't have any problems. But I tell you, I really do believe the rich and the famous have more problems than what we do. The money won't solve the problem. Look at the movie stars. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I wouldn't want anybody to be a movie star as I see some of their lives. But the Bible says it's going to rain, thank you, Lord, on the just and the unjust. I mean, because we're saved don't mean that we're not going to have problems. And I can assure you, because we're saved and you serve the Lord the best that you know how, it don't mean that you won't have a crisis coming to your family, because you will. It's going to come. It said it rains on all of us. Christians have problems, but see, when we do have problems, we know which way to turn. And those people that don't have Jesus Christ and don't have no time for Jesus Christ, they'll turn to all sorts of things. They might turn to pills, or they might turn to, you know, all kind of things. But we know which way to turn. We know to turn to Jesus Christ. And this world don't know which way to turn. This man, it says he lived in Capernaum. In the history of this, you know, Capernaum was a place where really it was a medical center at that time. It was a health resort. And yet they couldn't do anything for his little son. He couldn't do anything for his little son. The boy's at the point of death. Now, it goes to show you now, if I have some problems, I might go to Waycross Hospital, or my family, but pretty soon I want to try my best to get them in another hospital. I mean, if I have a heart problem, I ain't going to stop too long in Waycross if I can get out of it. I want to go to St. Vincent, or I want to go to Baptist, or I want to go to Mayo, or I want to go somewhere else. I think that's just common sense. But I want to tell you, people dies in St. Vincent Hospital also. And people dies in Mayo Hospital also. And people dies in Baptist, in Jacksonville Hospital, in Savannah, and all the great hospitals, they still die. I think we ought to do the best we can for our family and get them the best attention we can for ourselves and our family. But I'm going to tell you, the point is, you still need Jesus. You still need Jesus. This man really, and he understood that, you know what? He still needs Jesus Christ. In this position of his father, he might have been well-to-do, had money. But you see, money won't cure all the problems. Today, you know, when they would have a crisis in a family, they think all they got to do is just throw money at it. Problem with your child, buy them a new car. But you see, that goes to show you that, see, our children, they more than just body, they have a soul. They more than just physical needs. There's a spiritual need for that child. And that spiritual need for that child, it must be met only with another spiritual need. And only God can meet that need. So we see this man, he finds out that he needs some need. And it need go to Jesus Christ. And he knew that Christ is the only one can fill up this hole that he needed. So we see to start with now, this family has a great sorrow. But see, they cared their problem. This family comes to a great Savior. In verse 47, it says, "And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea of Galilee, he went unto him and besought him, begged him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." Begged him over again. Do you ever pray for your family? You know, the greatest tool that we have for the spiritual warfare is for our family. You pray for your family every day. You pay for your kids and your grandkids every day. Some people don't get interested in the things of the Lord. They don't get interested in the Lord. They don't get interested in church. They don't get interested in the Bible until a crisis occurs. Family crisis. Then they start looking for those miracles. And it says, when he heard about Jesus, he went. So we need to be there. This man's problem brought him to Jesus Christ. A lot of problems have brought people. Some of you may be sitting here, the problem brought you here to Jesus. When you didn't have time for the Lord, but when the problem strikes, God's got a way of talking to us, has he not? And God's got a way of getting people's attention. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's going to get some people's attention. God's going to win. Trouble has a positive aspect to it. Crisis has a positive aspect to it if it brings you to Jesus Christ. David said in Psalms 119:67, he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Verse 71 in that psalm said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Have you ever heard of anybody said that, you know, with thy sickness, this problem, you know, happened to me, and I'm going to tell you, it brought me to the Lord, it brought me closer to the Lord, it brought me back to the Lord? And they say it was worth it going through that because, you see, of what it brought me back to. Problems and the crisis have a way of drawing us to Jesus Christ. And this crisis is in faith. It's a picture that shows how faith, how it grows and how it's developed in these crises in our life. And people don't have time for Jesus. They don't have time for things of the Lord. When these crises come, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to take their mind off their jobs. They're going to take their mind off their pleasures. They're going to take their mind off their sports. They're going to take their mind off their money. They're going to put their mind on something that they need, and that need is Jesus Christ and the power that he has for their crisis. He says, "Come down, heal my son, or he's going to die." Now, he made one mistake there, that Jesus Christ got to come into him. He got to come to where the boy's at. Now, you see, we have a long-distance Savior. We have a long-distance Savior. You know what? Mankind has made these remote controls. Aren't you glad about these remote controls? Men, I love these things. How about man has made these cell phones? You can talk around the world with a little thing in your hand. Now, if mankind can do that, you know what? Jesus Christ, he's a long-distance Savior. All you got to do is pray up there in heaven. You know what? He'd be here on the spot. He hadn't got to come down. He can be right here. All you got to do is just pray. Mary and Martha, you know what? They made the same mistake about their brother Lazarus. He said, "If you had been here, my brother hadn't died. I wouldn't have died if you'd have been here." You know, the centurion soldier, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come down. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed." Now, Jesus in heaven, he makes long-distance calls all the time for us. For 2,000 years, you see, he's been making miracles long distance. Psalm 107:20 says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Now, all he'd have to do is send the word. And we have the word right here. Just believe what God has already told us. Crisis of faith. Think that Jesus Christ got to come down and put his hands on you. He's already here. And verse 48, again it said, "Then says Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." See, it says now, plural, he says, now ye, when he talks about that, he's not really talking just to this man. He's talking to the spiritual condition of the people in that day. Because it says there in the plural. Now, the same thing today, as you could say now, look at the United States of America, the condition they're in. The condition they're in. People say, seeing is believing. No, seeing is seeing. Believing is seeing when you really don't see. And you take God at his word. But this family find out that, you see, not only they had a great sorrow, but they come to a great Savior. But you see, also there's a great success. In verse 50, it says, "Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way." You see, faith is taking the Lord at his word. That's believing what he said. So the man, you know, he didn't even go home that day. He stays overnight. And then he starts home the next day, and a servant meets him, you know, along the way. And says, "You know, I got good news. You know, your son is healed." And the man said, "Now, what time was this?" And then, you know, we begin to tell him what time it was. As a man spent a night, he wouldn't know where, because he believed Jesus Christ. And it says there in verse 51 on down, as I've already read, "As he was now going down, the servant met him and told him, Hey, your son liveth. That's good news." Then he required him what hour it was. And he said, "Yesterday, about the 11th hour." And he said, "Well, that's the same time Jesus Christ told me that my son was healed." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. Now, as he was going down, he got this good news. Now, that last verse of Scripture, he said, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed. And then it said his whole house. His whole house believed. Now, what was he saying? Well, you see, we know that salvation, you can't believe for your kids. But here's the way that it happened, probably. Family miracle, the crisis he was in. Now the mother was probably there with the son. You know how mothers stay up all night? You mothers have probably stayed up all night and rocked the child, and you know the child was sick. When a child gets sick, you know, he wants his mother. I mean, dad's all right whenever he's well and running around to be able to aggravate a little bit, but whenever the child gets sick, he wants his mother. So the man's off looking for Jesus Christ, and the mother's home with the child. And then the wife says to the husband, "You see, something happened to our child." He said, "Yeah, Jesus Christ said he had healed him." She said, I believe that Jesus Christ healed my son. So I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior." And then the daughter come in, and you know, the daughter was probably a little older than the son. And probably the daughter come in and says, "I was worried about my little baby brother, but I know something has happened in his life. I've seen a miracle, Mama. I was so worried about him, but I saw a miracle coming to his life." His father said, "That was Jesus, son, daughter." She said, "I believe in Jesus." And then maybe, you know, the servant around the house that met the father. He said, "I saw how the mother and the father and your daughter and the family was worried about the child. And I played with the little child a lot. And I got kind of used to the little child and kind of loved the little child myself. And it was kind of next to me. And it really got to me that the child was sick and really at the point of death. Then I saw the miracle." And it says the servant said the himself believed and his whole house. I believe in Jesus. You know, you let a person get saved in the family. Let a person get saved in the family. You know, it ought to change the whole family. It ought to bring them all to Jesus Christ. That's what it said, the whole house. And I believe that's what it is because they saw the miracle. Would you tonight, would you be an open door into your family's life? You have some families that's not living for Jesus Christ, not coming to church they should, and Sunday school and Wednesday. And would you be that open door? Would you be willing to be that open door in their life for your family? If your family's all in and doing what they ought to do, would you be that open door of maybe someone else's family that needs Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to do that? Would we have a song of invitation at this time? When God spoke to your heart tonight, would you want to be that open door for your family? Some of your families just not attending the church as they should. Are they really saved, or they're just church members? Are they really know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Have there been a change in their life? They have no time. They make excuses. Would you be willing to be the open door in their life that God might work through them? Would you be willing to do that? Whatever song, Miss Dorothy, that y'all would like to play, if y'all would like to stand this time when she finds a song, we're not going to sing. If we'd just like to just let them play at this time. The altar would be open, and if you'd want to be that open door, you just come down to this altar or either pray right where you